Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Coaching Shift, how a coaching mindset and skills can change you, your interactions, and the world around you, by Shauna D. Waters and Brody Gregory Reardon, narrated by Leanne Woodward. 1. Your Roadmap. Questions we'll answer in this chapter. 1. What is coaching? 2. Why does it matter? 3. Why should I listen to this book, and what can I expect? Imagine this. We zoom in on a modern suburban office park and see Marie. She's 34, intelligent, competent, hardworking. And she's very sure of it, too. It's mid-afternoon, and Marie is having a somewhat tense conversation with her boss, who is providing feedback to Marie on a recent meeting they had with colleagues in another department. Marie's boss was dreading this conversation because, although Marie is a high performer who does great work, she's a nightmare to give feedback to. Marie doesn't really listen. She practices what you might call reloading. When someone else is talking, Marie is largely focused on what she will say next, carefully crafting a response that shows that she knows more and is cleverer than the other person. During this conversation with her boss, Marie doesn't seek to understand the feedback. She focuses on arguing why it's wrong and correcting her boss's misinformed perceptions about the meeting. She leaves the conversation feeling like she won the debate. Her boss leaves feeling exhausted and exasperated. Later that day, Marie meets up with some friends for drinks. One of Marie's friends shares a story about a bad date she recently went on. While her other friends are laughing and empathizing with their friend, Marie focuses on providing advice. She can see so clearly what's wrong with her friend's approach to dating and why she has these horror stories. Her friend patiently listens and thanks Marie for the advice, but thinks to herself, "Yeah, that's not at all what I want. Thank goodness my dating life isn't like Marie's. I would hate the kind of relationships she's been in." Marie has great intentions. She just wants to be a high performer, see her organization and her team succeed, help her friends find true love, and reassure her boss that everything is under control. But the way that Marie chooses to engage in these important situations, with people who play central roles in her work and life, leaves so much opportunity on the table. The conversations with her boss and her friends were opportunities to learn, grow, and deepen connections. But Marie missed out on all of this value because of her mindset and her behavior. Marie was more interested in being right than in seeking to understand the other person's perspective. She was more interested in closing down the conversation and having the last word than in drawing out more information or being curious. Marie prioritized demonstrating her competence and her expertise over connecting meaningfully with someone who was willing to be vulnerable. By prioritizing being right over learning, growing, and connecting, Marie is missing out on valuable opportunities to connect and have more productive outcomes, both for herself and with others. If we could rewind time and give Marie the opportunity to do over both situations, she could have practiced some essential skills like really listening, seeking to understand, asking questions to get more information and draw the other person out, or noticing the tone, emotions, and body language of her boss as he shared feedback, or her friend as she discussed her date. Bringing these skills to these conversations would have resulted in very different outcomes for Marie, her boss, and her friend. Marie would have learned and found opportunities to grow and be an even stronger performer. Her boss would have felt heard and confident that Marie would continue to grow. Marie could have learned more about her friend and strengthened their relationship through empathy and listening. Her friend would feel supported and affirmed. In the chapters that follow, we will explore a variety of mindsets, beliefs, emotions, behaviors, and skills. We approach these from the lens of coaching, But at the core, these are uniquely human capabilities that are helpful in any human interactions, not just coaching conversations. In Marie's case, she could have used some key coaching skills, like really listening and asking questions, to have more effective conversations. Similarly, her boss could have used a coaching approach to raise Marie's awareness to her mindset in their feedback conversation. Our goal in this book is to synthesize some of the most important theories, concepts, and approaches we have learned in our training and experiences as coaches, and to present them in a way that is useful both within and outside of a coaching context. You might be surprised to find that we don't really dig in on coaching skills until Chapter 4, but when we do, we try to make it clear that the skills are portable and can be used in just about any conversation, not just a coaching conversation. Our goal is that you take from this book new ways of thinking about yourself and others, as well as some tangible skills that you can use in a coaching conversation and other conversations where you want to show up as more curious, present, engaged, and supportive. Adopting this coaching mindset and skill set will enable you to unlock new ways of thinking about and framing your world, a higher quality of conversation, your own and others' potential, and new ways of connecting with others. Unlock your potential for connection. Humans evolved to be social creatures because we can accomplish far more together than we can individually. Despite exponentially more technology and automation than we had 50 years ago, people are no less important in our ability to accomplish our goals today. In fact, according to the World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs report, it is the uniquely human skills, such as coordinating with others, emotional intelligence, and cognitive flexibility, that are most critical in the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But working closely with others can also be complicated. Take Marie, for example. Marie missed out on essential opportunities to empathize with and understand important people in her life, including her boss and a good friend. Despite her best intentions of being a supportive friend and a high-performing team member, Marie was so focused on her own need to be right or validated, her own judgments and insecurities, that she completely missed emotional cues and openings to connect with others. Her behavior, in turn, elicited commensurate emotions and assumptions in her boss and her friend. Emotions, assumptions, beliefs, fears, biases, and past experiences color every human interaction in the workplace and beyond. Failure to empathize, listen, and fully understand one another can get in the way of effective collaboration and impact both interpersonal and organizational dynamics. Our world is increasingly volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. These conditions have forced a new structure of work and shift in the psychological contract between employees and employers. At work, leaders and individual employees face feelings of instability or anxiety and adapt to shifting priorities as markets and global conditions change rapidly. To keep up with the pace of change, organizational structures and decision-making need to be more agile and distributed. During the 2020 global COVID-19 pandemic, organizations had to rapidly adapt and innovate or suffer significant setbacks. Nearly overnight, organizations and the leaders and employees within them faced the shift to remote working, dramatic changes in service industries, sudden demand for healthcare and personal protective equipment, PPE solutions, among other things. Even the most resilient organizations, leaders, and individuals were put to the test as the situation unfolded rapidly, with far-reaching consequences few anticipated. As an example, the pandemic had a massive impact on the global events industry, which thrives on conferences, conventions, weddings, and more. Prior to COVID-19, the business events sector was larger than consumer electronics and computers and office equipment. when large gatherings and in-person meetups were canceled, postponed, or converted to virtual formats in response to the pandemic, events companies had to quickly pivot in order to survive. For example, Snapbar, a photo booth rental company, had previously been named the fastest-growing company of the year by Inc. magazine. Leaders at Snapbar had to quickly come up with viable and creative solutions to keep their business afloat. Within 4 days, they launched Keep Your City Smiling, which sells gift boxes with products from local small businesses and a healthcare gift box for frontline workers. Technical skills serve us well in known situations. But in the face of uncertainty, technical skills aren't enough. Imagine what it took for organizations to shift so quickly. Company leaders had to scan the world around them and make quick decisions about whether to stay the course or whether to put the previously established strategic plan and company goals aside and start anew. Given that no one knew how long the pandemic would last or how extreme the consequences would be, those decisions could not have been easy. They had to first reconcile their own uncertainty, fears, emotions, and then they had to lead others. They had to align a workforce around a new mission, purpose, and set of protocols. Together, they had to build a new business, identify a new supply chain, train workers, and plan for an unknown future. This was likely all while adapting to changes in their personal lives. Schools closed, travel stopped, loved ones may have needed care, and personal safety became top of mind during formerly mundane activities like grocery shopping. Dealing with our own responses to volatility and uncertainty is challenging enough and can feel even more complicated when we also have to interact with others who bring their own set of beliefs, emotions, fears, assumptions, and biases. Managing our thoughts and emotions as we navigate a rapidly evolving workplace and world is challenging and can feel downright overwhelming when we layer on complex interpersonal dynamics. As trained coaches, psychologists, and professors of coaching, we have come to discover over the years that coaching skills can make interacting with others easier and are valuable no matter what your role, tenure, or industry. How this connects to coaching. Since you chose this book, you probably already have some sense of what coaching is. Perhaps you have worked with a coach at some point in your life, though it may have been to improve your performance on the field rather than in the office. In our work, we find that many people have a misconception that coaching requires expertise and advice giving, when in fact, it's very much the opposite. Professional coaches partner with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. One of our favorite metaphors for coaching is teaching someone to fish, which will feed them for a lifetime, rather than giving them a fish, which will feed them for only a day. If you, too, have the misconception that coaching is sharing advice and imparting your wisdom on the person you are coaching, each coaching conversation would be the equivalent of giving that person a single fish. They may leave with an answer and a full belly, but have not learned or grown in the process. When you shift your understanding of coaching to a belief in the value of that person solving their own problems, coming to their own solutions, and developing their skills along the way, you are helping them learn to fish and have food for a lifetime. Coaches help others learn rather than telling them what to do. This is important because just like your soccer coach won't be able to talk you through every move during the championship game, your professional coach can't run the plays in your big meeting. You must be able to solve problems on your own. If it's advice and direction you are looking for, a mentor, manager, or other trusted advisor will serve you better than a coach. Given the uncertainty, volatility, and change that we're experiencing, you're likely to encounter challenges that no one has encountered before. If you want to chart your own path, or a path through uncharted territory, you likely need to find the answers within. That is where coaching comes in. Why coaching? You might be asking yourself, what makes coaching so special? Professional coaching emerged as a subdiscipline of consulting between the 1950s and 1970s, in conjunction with the formalization of other leadership development initiatives in organizations such as development programs and multi-rater feedback. By the 1980s, many consulting companies had developed coaching services, and research began. Today, evidence suggests that coaching is a highly effective intervention. One possible reason coaching is so effective is because it is inherently aligned with many of the most enduring findings in psychology and behavioral science more broadly. As an example, return to our metaphor of giving a man a fish versus teaching him to fish so that he can eat forever. If the man can show up every day and get his meal handed to him, does it matter that he doesn't know how to fish for himself? Psychological research would say yes. People value agency, a feeling of control over actions and their consequences, and are more bought into things they choose for themselves. This means that although the man's appetite might be satiated by being given a fish each day, he will be more satisfied with the meal if he caught it himself. The mindsets, behaviors, and practices that have come to be bundled under the label of coaching provide a potent and convenient bundle of tools that can be used together in formal coaching conversations or developed and applied across situations. Coaching can take many forms. Professional coaches may work with or for organizations to coach leaders and individuals on their careers, in support of their development, or to help them navigate personal transitions. Coaching is often infused into development-oriented performance management processes, talent initiatives such as learning and development, high potential programs, or succession management, and even to help employees who are exiting an organization figure out their next career horizon. Many organizations also invest in developing the coaching skills of leaders or HR managers so they will bring a more coach-like approach to their day-to-day work. In this book, we focus less on the professional practice of coaching or role of a coach and more on the core coaching skill set that we believe anyone can develop and use to improve their own emotions, thoughts, behaviors, and interactions with others. In an article for the Institute of Coaching, researcher John Campbell notes that a coaching approach can be used in any situation where someone wants something to be different and help another person figure out what they really want, learn from an experience, become more self-aware, get a level of support or healthy challenge that they may not get from other conversations, among many other things. In other words, adopting a coaching approach can help create a shift in yourself, others, or in situations. As an industry, professional coaching has exploded over the last 40 years, largely because of the array of positive outcomes linked to working with a coach. The International Coaching Federation estimates that the number of leadership coach practitioners increased by 33% globally between 2015 and 2019, and the number of leaders using coaches rose by 46%. Coaching enhances performance, well-being, the ability to cope with change, work attitudes such as job satisfaction and engagement, skill development, clarity, and goal attainment. It is among the most effective interventions to build resilience. Coaching has even been shown to boost both team performance and organizational performance. With results like those, it's no wonder that organizations are training managers to incorporate coaching skills into their leadership style. A study conducted in 2018 by the Human Capital Institute and International Coaching Federation found that a third of companies are investing in such training for their managers. Employees whose managers are skilled at development have higher performance, are more committed to their organization, and are 40% more likely to stay with the company. As Ibarra and Schooler note in their Harvard Business Review article, The Leader as Coach, a leader who brings an effective coaching approach to their interactions with others asks questions instead of providing answers, supports employees instead of judging them, and facilitates their development instead of dictating what has to be done. The evidence is compelling that coaching skills can be used to improve the performance and well-being of others. Using a more coach-like approach will help you build more meaningful relationships and have smoother, more effective, and higher-impact interactions with others. And yes, it will likely improve your performance and the performance of those around you. In this book, we argue that adopting the mindsets and behaviors necessary to coach others, coach yourself, and be open to coaching can unlock possibilities, opportunities, and connections you may otherwise miss out on. Effective coaching requires listening, humility, and curiosity. Being a better listener, living with humility, and opening up your curiosity will help you better manage day-to-day interactions with others and will also help you unlock new ways of thinking about, seeing, and being in the world. By embodying a coaching mindset, you will be able to see the people you interact with every day more fully. They will walk away from your conversations feeling seen and heard. And yes, you heard that second one correctly. Coaching yourself. When we work one-on-one with executive coaching clients, we are not only helping them work through immediate challenges or goals, we are also helping them develop a new inner monologue and a way of thinking about and approaching problems so that ultimately they can self-coach. We think of this as embodying a coaching approach. We believe that the skills, mindsets, and concepts we discuss in this book will help you unlock new ways of thinking about and understanding yourself, new ways of thinking about and relating to others, and new ways of approaching people and situations. The Everyone Coach. We did not write this book with professional coaches in mind. In fact, the greatest inspiration for this book is our students, past, present, and future, in the coaching skills course we teach in the Georgetown University HR Master's Degree Program. Our students, who cover a wide range of ages, backgrounds, industries, occupations, and life experiences, come into class with preconceived notions about what coaching is and is not. They start the semester with beliefs about who they are, who others are, and how to get the best from others. They all come to class thinking they are good listeners and quickly realize they are not. Few people are. We wrote this book for all the students, teachers, managers, leaders, parents, neighbors, healthcare professionals, service industry workers, and nonprofit volunteers in our lives. If you are a person and/or you interact with people, this book is for you. How's that for specificity? Back to Marie. Let's get back to Marie. Imagine you could rewind the tape and see Marie approach the conversations with her boss and her friend with a more coach-like attitude. In this version of the story, rather than focusing on being right and convincing her boss that the feedback on the meeting is wrong, Marie instead decides to listen. She doesn't just listen to respond, but to really understand. Marie is curious about her boss's perspective and wants to understand what went well and what could have been more effective in the meeting, and why it matters. She listens not only with her ears, but also with her eyes, noting her boss's facial expressions and body language, in addition to words and tone. Marie asks open-ended questions to learn more, such as, "Thank you for sharing your observations with me. I want our next meeting with this team to be more effective. I know we have a meeting again in 2 weeks. What's your vision for what better looks like in our interactions with this team?" As a result, she leaves the conversation with increased self-awareness. including a clearer understanding of what she's doing well in these meetings and what she can try differently next time to have a more productive outcome. She and her boss both feel comfortable and relieved coming out of the conversation, as if they are truly on the same side and working together toward the same goals. The conversation increased feelings of trust between them. Walking into happy hour with her friends, Marie feels both grounded and motivated. She feels like she is doing good work and has some new behaviors to try on in the weeks to come. She draws on the same deep listening skills as her friend recalls her recent bad date. Marie finds herself making an assumption about her friend's dating patterns, but stops herself and asks a curious question instead. As her friend wraps up her story with a laugh, Marie asks, "Candace, if you were aware you had so little in common with this person, why did you agree to go on a date with them?" Marie has an assumption that Candace is just desperate and going on dates with anyone and everyone. Candace's answer is not at all what Marie expected. "Oh, it was for a charity auction. I donated a date to my favorite nonprofit and it raised $1,500. Marie laughed and realized how quick and wrong her initial judgment had been. In this do-over, Marie reaches very different outcomes in both conversations. She learns from both experiences and forges deeper connections with others. She practices deep listening and seeking to understand more from others. She learns that her assumptions may not be accurate. She lets go of the pressure to be right and is able to relax and let more in. In this second version of Marie's day, she leverages key coaching skills to have more productive interactions. Coaching draws heavily from psychology, which involves the scientific study of relationships between the brain, environment, and behavior. In this book, you'll be introduced to some foundational principles that will shift how you make sense of your experiences and those of the people around you. We have strong beliefs about the ripple effect that adopting a coaching mindset and applying coaching skills can have for you and those around you. We've structured the book in a way that we hope makes you believe this too by the end. What you'll find in the chapters ahead. In part one, chapters 2 and 3, we'll focus on you. More specifically, we'll focus on psychology as a tool to help you better understand your own thoughts, feelings, and behavior. In chapter 2, you'll learn more about the ways your mind shapes your experience. You'll learn what a coaching mindset is and how to adopt one. In Chapter 3, we'll do a deep dive on behavior. We'll explore how thoughts, feelings, and behaviors connect and influence each other. We'll consider the impact of goals and motivation on our behavior. Part 1 is the foundation that will help you be a better coach to yourself and to others. In our experience, doing a little self-work first is imperative for you to be present and effective when applying your coaching skills with others. In part 2, we shift our focus to your coaching skills, or toolkit. We'll reveal how you can use your deepened awareness of yourself and your understanding of people in general to build stronger relationships and coordinate with others more easily. This will require building coaching skills on top of the coaching mindset that we laid out the foundation for in part 1. In chapter 4, you'll finally learn about core coaching skills. And in chapter 5, we'll explore how you can use those skills with groups and teams. As we noted earlier, people can accomplish more with others than they can on their own. Many of our goals don't require the help of just one other person. We work in teams or groups to accomplish our most important and ambitious goals. In part 3, we shift to your coaching impact. Now that you have taken a closer look at yourself and learned some essential coaching skills, you'll want to think about how you can put those skills to good use. In chapter 6, we focus on coaching in organizations. We will explore the ways a coaching mindset can help build a culture that fosters human potential and flourishing. In Chapter 7, you'll learn about ways to take your new coaching skills out into the broader world for positive impact and change. A coaching mindset can impact the way you show up in the world more broadly. It can reduce tension around political polarization at your next dinner with your extended family, enable you to
sample complete. Ready to continue?